I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show is going to be jam-packed with information, as usual, but we're going to have some mind-blowing information that will shock you. We're going to be talking about information from Tibetan Palladians concerning, are there vampires? And then we're going to be getting into the connection with Thoth and the pyramids, and also some secrets about Romania that very few people are aware of and know about, and also get into, time permitting, some techniques related to raising consciousness, and also a technique related to reality creation. So stay tuned. It's going to be a mind blower. Now, before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the show in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa yoga, and that's mantra repetition. It's actually one of six branches of integral yoga. It's taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, and in fact, Sri Satchidananda will be leading this chant. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari, Hari, Hari. Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. And I'd like to now give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET listening audience just for being you and making a difference in the world just by being you. And also to extend an invitation for you to contact me concerning questions that you may have over material presented on ET Yoga. And you can contact me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, at yahoo.ca. And I also appreciate getting suggestions concerning program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing ideas, concepts, and techniques that you get from listening to ET Yoga. And hopefully there will be some techniques as well towards the end of the program. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care, and it is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology to the best of your ability, given your particular circumstances. And this is a comment that I've been making on ET Yoga for over a decade. So it didn't just come about because of the most current situations. Now, to get into tonight's show, usually when what happens on ET Yoga is something catches my eye during the week, where I get an idea during meditation. And I generally follow that idea to its logical conclusion. And that presents some synchronicity in terms of content that's covered. Well, tonight's show is really, for me, quite synchronistic because I happen to be, I'm in Romania at the moment, and I happen to be going by Bran Castle in Romania the other day, and I didn't go in. I was just passing by on my way to somewhere else. However, yeah, I have been inside Bran Castle. It's B-R-A-N, and that's the one that's most popular and famous in Romania concerning, they call it Dracula's Castle. And the main narrative, I guess, from, you know, the Hollywood version of Bram Stoker's Dracula, he kind of created what most people consider as a myth with this Count Dracula. And in Romania, they basically, even though it's called Dracula's Castle, the general consensus here is that there was never a real Dracula. However, there was this guy called Vlad Tepes, and that's T-E-P-E-S, and Vlad Tepes was very cruel by reputation, according to the church, which backed him in some of his battles. It was because the Muslims were very cruel, and so he was kind of cruel back, and he used to cut off the heads of his enemies and stick them on the end of spears and post them around his castle. thus he got the name of Vlad the Impaler. Okay, so that's the basic story, is, you know, that's out there. So the next coincidence I had coming back from where I was headed and going by Braun Castle again, and on the way home, I checked out information from the Tigetan Pleiadians. And amazing that they would even cover such a subject or a topic, and they give a disclaimer that it might be disturbing for some viewers or listeners. And the information was basically that vampires are real, and that they exist all over the world, although there's a nest of them, according to them, in the province of Transylvania in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania. And the most shocking aspect of this, it turns out that they state that Vlad the Impaler, in point of fact, was a vampire. So, and a real blood drinker. And in further information concerning him is that the Catholic Church actually christened him, and he became what is known, like, by modern spiritual groups as Saint Germain. You talk about mind-blowing. So here you got a vampire that was actually christened as a saint. And he's also revered in the Greek Orthodox Church. In fact, if you go online and you look up, was Vlad Tepes, was he actually Catholic or was he Greek Orthodox? There's confusion and debate there. And in point of fact, I've been to a cemetery where when you enter the cemetery, there's this big, huge cross, of course, that, in my opinion, stands for the crossing planet or the Anunnaki. And you walk in and you see all these statues there, and there's statues like for Barabistu and Decebal, some very negative beings, and among them is Vlad Tepes. There's a statue right there that the Greek Orthodox have in their ring of honor as you enter the cemetery. It happens to be in Brasov, Romania. Now, it's probably in many others around the country, but that's there for sure, because I've been there and I've seen it. Now, the main castle of Vlad Tepes was actually about 80 kilometers from Bucharest, Romania. And that particular castle's name is known as Poinari Castle or Citadel. And that's P-O-E-N-A-R-I, Poinari Castle or Citadel. And it's about 80 kilometers from Bucharest. It's still there, although it's closed now. You couldn't go there right now, but it's supposed to be opening in the spring of 2024. And apparently it's on the top of a mountain, and you have to climb 1,480 steps to get there. So that was his main castle. And the one in Braun, which is the most publicized, is the one that gathers all the tourists there. People come here from all over to go into this the castle in Braun. Now, further information concerning vampires from the Tigetans is that, for the most part, they're very hideous looking. There's no truth to the fact that they can only come out at night. They can be seen in the daytime as well. Typically, their area where they bite the victims, and in this case, usually it's decomposed bodies, that in that vein, and they bite them in the leg because there's you can get more blood out that way. The secondary spot is in the neck. Apparently, they don't like garlic, so that's true. They're attracted by fear. And absolutely, they're found all over the world. Now, getting back to Saint Germain, there's plenty of evidence to show that this guy was around for during a couple of different centuries. He seemingly always hung out with royalty. He had loads of money. He was an alchemist. He knew the secret of turning lead into gold. Apparently, he grew diamonds. He was always throwing parties. He was fluent in like six different languages. Average to decent looking. There's a lot of stories about him. In fact, there's one story that as late as 1907 in New Orleans, and this is called New Orleans Dracula or vampire. He was known for throwing these gala parties, and at one such party, there was a woman who reported to the police that he tried to bite her in the neck. And since he was so influential at the time, the police basically took her statement, contacted what he went by. That name was Count Saint Germain. And because he was so influential, they told him and that her testimony might have been, not accurate or whatever. And they asked him to come to the police station the next day for routine questioning. Well, he never showed up, disappeared, left his property there. When the police went to his house to question him and broke in, they found multiple bottles, wine bottles there, all full of blood. So then he was never seen there at that site again. So there's a possibility that, he's still out there in the world somewhere. And how is that possible? Well, for one thing, apparently, according to the Tigetans, the drinking of the blood does rejuvenate the system. It tends to lead to longevity. And my opinion is that because he's unlike these other vampires as described by the Tigetans, gives the human appearance. That's what reptilians can do. Reptilians, because of their intention and their technology, can give a human appearance. And this is what I believe that Vlad Tepes or Saint Germain is or was, and that is reptilian. And if you go on the net, you'll try to look up Alfred Aconians, and you'll find out that they their lifespan's unknown, but it's definitely hundreds, if not thousands, of years, similar to Anunnaki. So that's the main story there about vampires and Vlad Tepes and Saint Germain. Now, as it so turns out, there's other very interesting places to see while you're, if you're visiting Romania. And one of them is not far, probably 30 miles from Brașov. That's Brasov, about 30 miles from Brașov in the Buzeci Mountains, is the Rock Sphinx. And I've taken a cable car to the Rock Sphinx, and it's the site of what was discovered by satellite of an extraterrestrial base that's under the mountain there and under the Rock Sphinx. Now, you don't get to go into this base. It's highly secure area. In fact, the U.S. military guards that entrance. once when I, a few years back, somebody from Romania gave me pictures of U.S. Army guarding the entrance. So I have seen that. But there's like 6 books out, at least maybe 7 now, concerning this topic. And I've read 3 of them. One is Transylvania Sunrise, one is Transylvania Moonrise, and one is, I think it was Light of Egypt. But there's amazing information in there. The Romanian government was going to disclose this, but that got all shut down by the U.S. government and the Vatican. And primarily because inside was a holographic history of the Earth that goes back 50,000 years. Now, coincidentally, Edgar Cayce once said that there was a hall of records underneath the paw of the Sphinx at the Giza Plateau. Well, it turns out that there are underground tunnels, largely in gold, but there are underground tunnels that lead from Busedge, Romania's rock sphinx, to the Giza Plateau, also to Iraq, also to Tibet. And so the plot thickens on that one, because according to Bashar, those hall of records underneath the sphinx were discovered. Somebody's got them, but they were never made public. And of course, they weren't made public because you've been BS'd about real history for a long time. Very little of it's true. Turns out from the this holographic history that was in at the Busedge site, most of the myths turn out to be true, and about 90% of the rest of the history is false. So this is also consistent with what the Tigetan Pleiadians state, and they're currently studying more information about Earth history, but they're basically saying it's just a fairy tale. And so that's the story about the Busedge Mountains. There's also been a find in Romania. It's called the Tataria Tablets. It's T-A-T-A-R-I-A, the Tataria Tablets. And the Tataria Tablets turn out to be older than Egyptian hieroglyphics. And these tablets indicate an alphabet. So there's another little discrepancy in history. It's not that I believe that this is the oldest history on Earth, because, you know, my way of thinking goes back to Atlantis and Lemuria and the continent of Mu. These were pre, let's put it this way, archaeological finds, but that has been communicated by various credible sources. And in fact, we're going to be making a connection here tonight with a guy named Thoth, who was the architect, along with several ET groups, that created and built the pyramid. The pyramids were not built by humans, and go back way farther than history would like to tell you. In fact, the Pleiadians initially talked about that history of the pyramids themselves in Egypt itself went back at least 7,000 years older than what you're being told. So, it might also add, there's another anomaly, or that, of course, giant skeletons have been found all over the world. I don't know why people don't just generally consider giants were here, but in Romania, there are lots of giants that skeletons that have been found. And intact. So it's like, it's no secret about the giants or Anunnaki lived. In fact, I would say that in ancient Romania, the Dacians would be at least partially Anunnaki and possibly giants. And in fact, the tables in the inside the extraterrestrial base are all suited to giants, not regular humans. Like, it's just, they're huge. And you can go online and look up ET base found in Romania, or Busedge Mountains, Mysteries of the Busedge Mountains online, you get lots of information about it. So it's out there, but it's just not known. Now, moving on to the architect of that's what I consider one of the most amazing beings ever living on this planet, was Thoth. And Thoth was the immortal god of Atlantis, Egypt, and Greece. And he was the ancient god of writing, magic, wisdom, and the moon. His books taught the ancient Egyptians their science and religion. And during ancient Greece, he became known as Hermes and taught Pythagoras the knowledge that would form the basis of the ancient Greek culture and philosophy. Thoth introduced writing to the world. Thoth was known as Mercury to the Romans, and he was known to the Jews as Enoch. And Thoth, according to Drunvalo Melchizedek, he goes back to the beginning of Atlantis 52,000 years ago, and he was king of Atlantis for 16,000 years. And his name was Chiquetet Arlek Vermalites. I'll spell that. Chiquetet, first name. Arlek, Arlich, middle name. And Vermalites is Vermalites. And I'll talk about that longevity in a moment. After Atlantis sunk, he waited 6,000 years until the time of Egypt. And when Egypt died, he started Greece, which was the next major culture. And this is while still in the same body he had in Atlantis. And after learning how to leave the Earth, he went to other planets to study life there, spending 100 years on each planet. He was gone from Earth for around 2,000 years. Thoth, along with his wife, Sheshat, and that's S-E-S-H-A-T, left Earth in 1991 and went to a different octave of the universe to a completely different experience. And this is information according to Drunvalo Melchizedek. In order to maintain the immortality of his body, he'd meditate for 2 hours every day, 1 hour with his head facing north and his feet to the south, doing a specific meditation, and another hour facing the opposite direction, using a different specific meditation. And also every 50 years, he would go to the halls of Amenti and sit for 10 years before the flower of life, which is a pure flame of consciousness deep in the earth. Escaping the sinking of Atlantis, Thoth and other citizens of Atlantis knew the cataclysm that destroyed the civilization was coming. And when they saw the first signs of it, they went to the Sphinx in Egypt and boarded a ship, which they flew back to Atlantis in, and where they picked up the people of the Nakal Mystery School, and that's N-A-A-C-A-L. And this group included about 1,000 ascended masters from Lemuria, which had sunk just prior to Atlantis, and is rising above the ground as well, as they picked up 600 Atlanteans who had also obtained immortality. They flew to Egypt and landed atop the Grand Pyramid, which at that time you could land ships on top of the pyramid. And along with the sinking of Atlantis, a shift of the poles also occurred, which wiped out the memories of everyone. However, those on board this ship were able to create a Merkaba energy field and maintain their memories. And they disembarked from the craft and went to a large chamber deep inside the pyramid and began the development of the next major culture, which was ancient Egypt. Now, in introspection, it can be assumed, I believe, that Thoth was Anunnaki, and based on his longevity, because Anunnaki lived thousands of years. And this is when the Anunnaki tinkered with our DNA. It's one of the secrets they never wanted to tell us, because the fact is that they manipulated our DNA to the point where we only have like, you know, 100 years, and we were mining gold for the Anunnaki, which that gold, it wasn't just about, you know, some monetary value or exchange value. The gold was melted down to the white powder gold, and that's the white powder gold or monatomics that gives them their longevity. So that's the scoop on that. And definitely there is, although, a positive line of Anunnaki and a negative one. So, like, all Anunnaki aren't bad. This can be exemplified in the different pharaohs that followed in Egypt. And you might also put this in your thought process as well. Atlantis was a 5D culture. Okay, so in the time of Atlantis, Earth was a 5D culture. The Matrix wasn't installed here, creating a 3D hologram on top of a 5D background until 12,500 years ago. So ancient Atlantis was 5D, and there will be a portion of this population that's going back to 5D. And according to Tigan-Pleiadians, once you're outside the Van Allen belt, the rest of space, 99% of it's 5D. Like, this is, you know, we're at the bottom of the pit here. And this Van Allen belt is a radiation zone of energetic charged particles around the planet. So that's a scoop on Thoth. And according to Tigetans, Thoth is given credit for being the architect of the pyramid and the giant pyramid at the Giza Plateau, but with credit also given to Pleiadians and other ET races were involved with that. And that technology included anti-gravity, so for levitating the stones into place, also included the technology to liquefy stone and make molds. So those are two technologies that are never considered when trying to figure out how they were built or how Egyptian built. In fact, when you go on a tour of the pyramids in Giza and the Sphinx, which I did this summer, the guides will tell you that the Egyptians at the time were like 6 meters tall, and that's why they were able to lift these stones. Well, BS, I don't care if you're 6 meters tall. These stones are 10,000 pounds and stuff. Like, there's no way that the Egyptians built the pyramids. And some of the precise cuts in some of these stones, and Greg Braden is and some other people are aware of the fact that there were molds there, and also the dating of the pyramids is like, the Tigetans say the Sphinx alone may be 35,000 years old. So that's how far out we are on all that kind of stuff. I'm going to now move on to some techniques that I promised at the beginning of the show. And the first one I'm going to do is actually given by Bashar. But before I get into the technique of Bashar, because there's a lot of really, you know, good information that Bashar puts out. The problem with Bashar is that there's three supercomputers, Epsilon, Epiphany, and Enigma, that circumvent his home planet. And thus, his planet's totally controlled by AI. And so is Bashar, in my view, okay? So for about 25, 30 years, he's given out information, and then all of a sudden he comes out with that information about these supercomputers. And then during the COVID crisis, when he went to his site, he recommended that you follow the instructions of the World Health Organization, which is basically to get the jabs, which wasn't even, they're not even vaccines. They're a bioweapon. He's lost all credibility with that garbage. And then he's also one of the people that was being channeled by Kosal Uch, O-U-C-H, or O-O-U-C-H. Kosal Uch is an admitted part of the Borg. Bashar's talks about that we're going to become the sixth hybrid race. Well, because what is he talking about here? Well, what he's talking about is that the grays are the ones that, you know, have been, most people kind of seen pictures of with the big black eyes, and they're small and are known mostly for the abduction scenario. Well, the abduction scenario is true, and millions of people have been abducted, and they were doing genetic experiments with us for quite a while, trying to create a hybrid race between grays and humans, which eventually they succeeded in doing. They created five of them. And Bashar is basically says he's coming back from the future because he's one of those, Esasani were one of the five hybrid races that they're trying to make us out of. And they're all controlled by AI, as well as the Yael, who that was the big craft, the triangle craft that flew over Arizona about, 1990. I don't know the exact date, somewhere along those lines. And everybody saw it. So Yael are here. They're kind of assisting some of the Earth mothers that have children that are half gray and half human. And you can go online and find pictures of what some of these kids look like. And then Yael, Y-A-Y-E-L. I think that's it. Yael. Yeah. That particular species. They're supposed to be making contact with the Earth, I don't know, by 2033 or something like this, like publicly. But in my opinion, the reason it's going to be then is that the plan for this planet is that there won't be any humans left by then, because everybody will be chipped and part of the Borg. And this new plan that the WEF and the UN and all these the ultra government on the planet are proposing us this digital ID. Digital ID leads to digital currency, and digital currency in your bank account and everything will all be on your phone with your medical records, etc. And then after that, the next plan, and that'll all be mandatory. And even the European Union has stated that you won't be part of society if you're not participating in that digital ID, digital currency scheme they have for total control. And then it'll be, they'll make you put the chip under your skin. And then people will be connected to the AI, like via the 5G network, etc. And you'll be remotely controlled. And most people, they won't even have an original thought, but won't even be aware of it. They just become part of the Borg. In fact, there's a new name for that species, Homo Borg Genesis. So that's the skinny on Bashar. Not to mention that AI's got lots of really positive information, and here's one of the techniques that I find is a quite valuable one. So let's go into the notion that, as a scientific principle, that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, or that what you put out is what you get back. And so you may now be thinking and feeling, let's say, good, and you want to acquire something in your life to enhance it. And then as you are giving off this new positive vibration, you notice your circumstances haven't really changed. And so you think that maybe you've gone wrong somewhere. The physical mind often gets caught up in its own sense of control. And so if it doesn't see physical change, because that's one of its functions, to see the world, then it automatically assumes that it does not see a one-to-one reflection of circumstances that surround you with what you now believe you're giving off. That's your new vibration or your new intention. Then it will think that something has failed. Your mind just does that. So, and quite happily, keep telling you that something has failed. No, there is no failing, and this is why. a reminder. If you want to change something outside, you have to change inside. You have to change your vibration, your state of being, in order to get that new change reflected back to you. See, but you have to maintain that new vibration. When you or your mind sees no change, it is because the first reflection or manifestation will be exactly the same. The first reflection is just an echo of how things used to be. You must not respond to the echo as if the echo is the representation of your new state. The echo gives you an opportunity to reinforce the new state of being that you have chosen by responding in a different way to circumstances that look the same. That's the secret. That is where you allow circumstances to truly reflect that you have changed, by demonstrating that you have changed even though the circumstances appear to look the same as they used to. So that's the secret of this technique. You must therefore respond to the echo, knowing it is an echo, and you thus accept it as it is. You have surrendered resistance to it. Thus, what you're putting out now, your new response, will solidify the vibration of your preferred state of being and allow the circumstances to change by taking their cue from the new vibration and the absolute certainty that you have changed. Because if you respond to the echoes like you used to, then you have not changed. So this is a bit tricky. And therefore, when you make a clear commitment that you have, in fact, vibrationally changed your state of being, you have established that you truly have changed, and then circumstances, in fact, have no choice but to reflect that change. This is the explanation to all the times you hear the phrase, "The change comes from within." And most people get the first bit right, and they change their vibration to a new preferred outlook, but then they keep peeping out to see if things have changed. But you haven't really changed at all if you're doing that, because you're responding to the circumstances in the same way, and all you've done is the first part of the exercise. You do not need to keep peeping and checking. Just know that when you accept it as it is and you understand it's just an echo, surrender resistance. Peeping followed by inner complaint of it's not changed, and hold your new vibration. Respond differently and still be happy. Then the change will present itself effortlessly. And the summary is that circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. Your state of being, your point of attention, determines your outer circumstances, that which materializes into your reality. So I pass that on as a positive technique from Bashar. And I'll also share one with you called Pillar of Light, which helps to that one is the one that relates to creating or reality creation. And the next technique relates to just raising your frequency. If you want a quick way to raise your frequency. And one way to do that is I try to sit in a meditative pose, intend to connect a silver blue cord from my base chakra that extends all the way down to the center of the earth and grounds me there. And once I'm grounded, then I call upon the pillar of light. And the pillar of light I call upon from Prime Creator that comes down through the dimensions, comes down through all 12 chakras, enters in through the crown, and goes down through all the chakra centers in your body, and then eventually goes all the way down to the center of the earth. And if you sit and then you focus on that, calling the pillar of light, in a minute or two, you will feel the energy. And that energy, that light energy, fills your body, and it will raise your frequency, because basically the higher the light quotient, the higher the frequency. So this is a technique that has multiple variables. You can then visualize the energy coming down after you, what happens with me is my head snaps back into like a 38 degree tilt, kind of like the Sphinx. And I feel the energy, and after a few minutes, then I'll switch, and then I'll have the energy come down through all my chakras, and then go to the heart chakra, and then out into my auric field. So that's another variation. Another variation is that you can start from the base at the center of the earth and have the energy go from there up through all the chakras and out through all the top of your head and out through the rest of your chakra system and out through Alcyon and up the Prime Creator. You can do it opposite direction as well. So you're creating this energy flow, this pillar of light. And it's very effective technique, very simple to do once you catch on to it. And the idea being it takes a few minutes before you'll start to feel the energy coming down through all your 12 chakra system. And we were created with a 12 chakra system. There's 5, 7 in the physical body and 5 outside the physical body. And for the most part, the reason that most of the yogic material talks about only the 7 chakras in the body is that this planet, for the most part, some of these other chakras have been dormant for most people, but are starting to activate in this time that we're now living in. So it's very, the idea here is try it and see how it works. I'd like to, at this point in time, wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I always close the program by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And that's a technique that I picked up from Baba Ram Dass, as well as on an inner level, Sri Ramana Maharshi, who taught this technique known as the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, to his close disciples. And basically, you get to the highest place you know how to get to. This could be after hatha yoga, asanas, pranayams, a meditation, get to the highest place you know how to get to, natural or unnatural, there's a hint, and become that spot in the center of your forehead. And once you become that spot in the center of your forehead, you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once, twice, whatever's comfortable, and then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of